To Afghanistan now, where voters have stunned observers by coming out in huge numbers to register who they'd like to succeed Hamid Karzai as president of their country. Many Afghans had expressed fears that the Taliban threats of deadly violence and the fraud exposed in the previous elections would put voters off. In fact, it now looks like the voter turnout is double that of the 2009 presidential poll. Omar Sama was Afghanistan's ambassador to Canada and then to France from 2004. He resigned from the Karzai government in 2011 and is now a senior Central Asia fellow at the New America Foundation in Washington, D.C. When he spoke to me today, he said he was not surprised at the enthusiastic voter response.
Look, over two generations, we've seen quite a bit. And Afghans, I think, have decided that democracy is the best option for them and voted for their future.
Now, you were an ambassador for the Karzai government, including after that 2009 election where massive fraud was exposed. The three leading candidates are now raising fraud concerns. How confident are you that fraud has been contained in this election?
This was the first step in a process. Now, the test is to see if the institutions work, if Mr. Karzai and some other power brokers in the country are going to play and manipulate with the election process, whether this is going to be a credible process or whether it's going to turn out to be something where fraud is going to be put to play a role. My hope is, after having experienced 2009 and I was very disappointed with how this whole thing was handled, one of the reasons why I left the government in 2011, I hope that they will let the process take its own course within legal bounds.
And yet you suggest that President Karzai himself may, as you put it, play or manipulate the process. Is he attempting to still be a kingmaker here?
Well, that would be the worst-case scenario. Mr. Karzai's legacy hinges on this. If he is now, after 13 years being at the helm, going to jeopardize what we call achievements over the last 13 years, then he would take that route. The other option is for him to remain a statesman.
What could he do that would concern you most?
Well, middling doesn't mean that he personally goes and does anything. It means that the system has been set, the stage has been set in such a way that certain institutions dealing with elections, there's a whole string of things that could happen, that there might be an attempt at manipulating any part of this process. I'm confident, but there are some challenges. In the next few weeks, we will have a better picture of whether this is going to be credible enough and transparent enough, or whether it will be something that is problematic.
Do you think that there will be a runoff vote to decide the final victor, or will candidates do a deal?
Well, what I can tell you is that now we have sort of entered already the second round. My guess is that there will probably be some discussions amongst the contenders as well as political elite overall as to whether there can be an arrangement that benefits the country or whether they will go till the end. I can't tell you what might happen at this stage, but I think there will be a discussion.
Is there a danger in a long delay before the new leader is known?
Yes, I mean, the longer this takes, the less the chances of stability, per se, knowing that on one hand we are still threatened by the Taliban. On the other hand, we have to show the Afghan people that their vote counted.
Women turned out to vote in high numbers. President Karzai has been criticised in many quarters for not standing up enough for women, in some cases for taking backward steps. There are no female presidential candidates, but do any of the male candidates offer any real hope of change for women?
Yes. Let me just say, in fairness to Mr. Karzai, I think they've done the best they could. Women's conditions have really changed tremendously. And there are three women vice presidential candidates and dozens of women in provincial council elections that also took place yesterday. At the same time, the three front runners are all committed to women's rights and all committed to making progress in that regard. And I think that that is good news for Afghan women.
The security operation to protect voters during this election was the biggest operation for Afghan security forces since 2001. Does its success indicate that Afghan forces are capable of securing the country without the support of international forces?
This is probably one of the biggest success stories of Afghanistan. On April 4th, everyone expected a crisis situation to emerge on election day as a result of Taliban attacks. What we saw was the ability of the Afghan forces to withstand, the inability of the Taliban to make a dent, and the willingness of the Afghans to say, we will not accept your behavior.
Of course, the Taliban has flexed its power in the wake of the vote, targeting a vehicle carrying ballot boxes and killing three people.
Yes, random acts of terrorism have happened in a country like Afghanistan that's the size of France or Texas. But I think that the message sent to the Taliban and their backers and their networks was very clear, and that speaks very loudly.
How tough is the security challenge, though, for whoever succeeds President Karzai?
It's going to be a very tough situation, I think. But this new leader will come with a very clear mandate. And this will be the first time that there will be a peaceful, democratic, political transition in Afghanistan's history. The Taliban will have to decide whether they will continue this nonsensical war or whether to change their behavior and their mindset and realize that they can be productive and constructive members of society. And so the new president will have to, on one hand, show strength, resolve, and that on the other hand, he does keep the door open for peace talks.
You mentioned assistance from the international community there. To what extent does Afghanistan need that long-term security deal, particularly with the United States, that President Karzai has refused to sign?
While NATO, the US, and others draw down from Afghanistan and end their mission at the end of 2014, it's expected that a new form of a mission will emerge afterward because of the needs that exist.
How vulnerable would Afghan people be if the international community were to completely disengage after the drawdown of troops at the end of this year?
I think it would be tragic. On one hand, it would signify a failure on the part of not just Afghans, but everyone who has been involved in Afghanistan for the past 13 years, making all types of commitments and pledges. On the other hand, it would signify that all those who have been fighting us, including Al-Qaeda and Taliban and others, would claim victory. And at the end of the day, the Afghan people will suffer.
That's former ambassador for the Karzai government, Omar Samad.